Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world from what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now, wonder what you tell me now. Fire, fire.
color. Everybody,
we need each other.
Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the children.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful day. We're grateful and thankful to still yet be here amongst the living, praying that God continues to give us the ability to be able to function day in and day out, knowing and understanding what our roles and responsibilities are. Just praying that we all work together for one common goal, and that's to just continue to glorify our Heavenly Father. Just thanking God for your presence tonight. Just want to welcome each and every one of you to the Blog Talk Radio show tonight, asking God's many blessings to be upon each and every one of us, asking that you just pray along with us as we usher in the Holy Spirit. Just want to thank the Holy Spirit for going and being with us on this day. Just praying that you and your loved ones are safe and that you have the ability to communicate and understand what relationships are all about. There's just so much going on around us that there's just so much that we can talk about. And I'm just thanking God that tonight, just as we have a simple conversation just about life, that there will be some individuals that would like to just hone in by pressing one on your phone. And then at that time, you will be placed in the host queue. And at the appropriate time, Minister Jesse will give you an opportunity to be able to speak. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for tonight and for all the many blessings you continue to bestow upon each and every one of us. Just want to declare and decree your word upon each and every one of our lives. Father, I don't know everything that everyone is going through, but I just pray tonight, Lord God, that you give us all the ability to function and do the things that we need to do. I just love you so much, Lord God, and I know without you I'm nothing, but with you and through you I can and will be able to do anything I set my mind to. I want to just say thank you tonight for all marriages that's represented tonight. I pray for each individual. I pray for the spouses, Lord God, that they come together and they operate in oneness and they have the ability to communicate one to another and be able to understand what it is that you desire, Lord God, for them to do as a couple, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you for all of the marriages that you strategically put together. Thank you for the patience that you will give each and every one of us as we deal with one another. Thank you right now, Lord God, for the children that you've entrusted in our care. Thank you today, Lord God, for going and being with us, Lord God, as we continue to recognize, know, and understand that there's still so much more that you desire for us to do. There's so many that I know that have joined us, Lord God, that are not married yet, that they're looking to have a special soulmate, Lord God, once we know that you give them, Father God, the ability through discernment to know who you have in store for them. Because you said in your word, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Tonight, Lord God, it's no different. Just want to say thank you once again for my husband, Minister Jesse. Pray blessings on top of blessings for him. Ask, Lord God, that you continue to orchestrate everything that we do. Order our steps. Give us the ability to love on one another, to edify each other, to communicate in the manner in which you desire for us to communicate. Thank you, Lord God, that you will be with every family that's going through bereavement. We know so many families are going through. I just want to take a special moment and pray tonight for one of our neighbors, Lord God, who got, Father God, the opportunity to go on home and be with you on yesterday morning. I just pray, Lord God, that you be with the Rucker family, be with Carolyn, be with their daughters, Lord God. Give them the ability to be able to work together, to love on each other, and to be there for one another. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you continue to bestow upon each and every one of us. Go and be with us until we see you face to face. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
All right, praise God. Thank God. We give him our glory, honor, and praise. And You know, Tammy, I thought tonight what we would do with so much going on, just have a conversation. Sometimes it's, we may not realize that having a conversation or just chatting about things is one of the best things you can do when there's so much going on. We all are so busy. And I can tell you that, my goodness, I don't even have, I can't, there's no conception of retirement in my mind. I mean, I know that, yeah, technically, I have reached or passed the age of 65, but that which I don't do as a day-to-day situation, I get into day-to-day situations doing other things or for other people, or as you know, taking care of things that we need to have done in addition to working on special projects. So, you know, you used to think, or I used to think, wow, yeah, you get to a certain age, you retire, and you go fishing, or if you don't know how to fish, you learn how to fish and go fishing, and you go do all of these things, and that's not a reality. And I'm finding that it's interesting that sometimes when we just talk, when we just have a conversation, it's better than all the other things that we do. And so I thought tonight we just do that. Let's just talk about it and have a conversation. You know, we run so much and we're so busy that sometimes all of us, we fail, you know, to really take care of the time or the time we desire to accomplish all the things we need and want to accomplish. And sometimes we just need to just stop and take a day or two, as we chatted about recently, and just go be with each other. And then when we go away or just go into our own closet, to our own bedroom, we should establish an agenda and begin to work through what we want to achieve and have some agreed objectives. Because if not, I know you and I know, I mean, you just get swallowed up into activities. And every day, remember we went process a few weeks back where every day it looked like we were doing something. Then I know I decided to shift one of the activities that I was involved in instead of doing it on Wednesday night. I moved it to Thursday night since we already have a lot of activities on Thursday nights. I moved it to Thursday night. And then there were some things we were doing on Tuesday, and we stopped doing those again to just create time. One of the things I think is that we all need to do, all couples, is find a way to create more time for each other. Now, I know you and I, we're different in the sense that, you know, you will just sometimes come, and I know in my office, you'd come and just lay on the couch or whatever and chill out, and we just chat and talk, and that was back in the day. So we need to get back into some of those situations, and it just, we just need to talk about it. Everybody, all couples need to talk about it. There are so many valuable realities associated. And so, of course, one of the things we'll chat about tonight is what can you do, or how do you create that time to make time? And what do you do that may be different, where it's not normal, it's unusual, that people don't think in terms of doing these things when you're thinking about maintaining and creating your oneness. So what about that? I mean, when we take time sometimes to just talk, because we got to be honest. A lot of modern technology keep us from really communicating sometimes effectively. Sometimes modern technology will take us away from communicating with each other. And, you know, sometimes we go out, and you could go out as a family, and you could look around the entire restaurant, and you could see at least half of the tables where people are looking at their mobile phones. What do you think, Tammy? What would it be like if we said, if we were going to dinner, you know, like you've got something coming up, maybe this could be a part of our plan for the family next month when your birthday is coming? How do you think, you know, the children will respond if we said we're getting together, and when we get together, we're collecting everybody's phone. How do you think they might respond to that kind of request?
Well, good evening once again to each and every one of our listening audience. I don't think it would be an issue, Jesse. I just think it's a matter of just discussing, like you said, the biggest challenge with just in general in life is communication, lack of, should I say. We just got to all learn to know how to communicate a little better. So many of us are just going 100 miles an hour, and so we don't know how to slow down. And so we, a lot of times we're answering in passing or we're asking a question in passing. And how many of us know that that can bring some frustration into conversations? Because, number one, you more than likely cannot hear everything if someone is just saying it and moving and in passing. Or you don't get to respond in the right manner because another one of the spouses is just always on the go, moving into another room. You are so right. You know, so many times we will all of us, and especially spouses, we need to put our phones down. We need to put our computers down. We need to understand that communication is key, and you got to talk about things or it becomes havoc on you, your life, and family, and everybody else. So I just understand and know that communication is key in everything we do in life, no matter what it is. As long as we talk about it, everybody understands and knows what the other person is doing. I think we have a better chance of having a lot of great success to the point where we know we have the ability just to enjoy one another, especially as husband and wife, and as we are able to enjoy the oneness that God created. Not everybody enjoys the oneness. We got some that we just enjoy just being in the house with their spouse, maybe not in the same room, but just knowing that they're somewhere in the house. And I just hope and pray that, you know, so many of our listening audience, I hope and pray that they have the ability to not only be in the same house with their spouse, but to be able to be in the same, especially bedroom. It should continue that way. And I hope and I pray that, you know, for those of you that may not be, that you take an opportunity to communicate and try to figure out why that's happened and try to work it out to bring that back together. But I'm in total agreement, Jesse. I just think we need to communicate, you know, just as a people, we need to do more communicating and slowing down just to be able to enjoy life and enjoy one another.
You know, we hear so often, Tammy, about that putting the phones. We're going to try it when we come together. I'm going to make that request and say, hey, y'all, let's just put our phones in the box right here. Because, you know, corporate America, sometimes people do that. Just think about it. Jaleel has a job right now, and they tell them to leave their phones in the car. I don't know if, you know, I have not done any research to see if that's what you want to, I don't want to say the word legal, but if they're taking away some of their rights and they say do not bring your phone into the building. So because we could use technology sometimes. I mean, we could send a text to each other, email to each. I know we do it with each other. Create a little video. I know you created a little video, created one of me just, I think it was last week. And so sometimes we're so busy that I think we should just schedule some talk time, that we get so caught up in the daily routine that scheduling a specific time to discuss issues or simply talk about just talk would be something beneficial that we need to learn. And you're never too old. You never get too old to realize that some of these things are necessary. It may be that there's something going on and you need to carve out just a little time to have some quality conversation. So I know that you know, we are very busy. You are very busy. And I know you are doing you're doing an awesome job in what you're doing, but I know it's demanding a whole lot of your time. And I know that it ain't going to be that demanding forever because I see in my own mind that that's not going to be a reality. But we all do certain things, and the couples have to understand that when you're going through certain trials or tribulations or you're going through certain points in life, you know, sometimes everybody got to make a different kind of sacrifice. And so, but again, that's about sitting down and having that conversation. And so why is that difficult, though? What do you think, Sam? I mean, there's no right or wrong answer, but why is it so difficult for people to want to and couples that just want to say, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation at this particular time. But do it in a way where, you know, you just chatting and you're just coordinating. You're getting your alignment together. You're getting the feeling for what's going on and what's happening in each other's life. And so sometimes we can get so busy that we fail to remember, no, you have a partner, and that partner, we all need to make a way to schedule some specific time, or maybe a date night. We talk about that word a lot, date night. And sometimes impromptu date nights are good as well. Maybe that's the word. What do you prefer, Tim? Impromptu date or planned date?
I don't have really a preference. I think either one is probably really the best way to do it. Is just if you feel like there's an opportunity and you want to go on a date and it's, you know, spare the moment, then do it. If we feel like we need to plan something and we want to do something because we know there's a concert coming or we know there's something that we really want to do and we want to go do it together, I think we need to do it. But the challenge I think we find ourselves in is, sometimes we just find ourselves just going so hard that we really can't find enough energy to continue doing additional things outside of working and doing the things. I know for me personally, it's just a season for me right now that I just don't have a lot of energy doing nothing other than this summer and laying out at the pool for the most part, because that's what brings me relaxation to the point where I know I can just chill out and do nothing. You know, when it comes to, no matter what you're doing, if you're going out somewhere, you know you got to go through the challenges of getting dressed and getting looking good, because trust me, I know I would never want to go nowhere with you without having myself together. And some of that energy that it takes is energy that I don't know right now if we have a whole lot of extra of that right now, but you got to get creative. So how do you get creative? Okay, you do a candlelight dinner out on your balcony, out on the deck. But you still take that opportunity to be able to have a date night, but it's done just a little bit different. And so I think if we just find ourselves just stealing away just from the regular, normal stuff that we do, like saying going out on your balcony, on your deck, and just having a candlelight dinner and just talking just between you and your spouse, I think it's the best gift that you can ever give one another. It gives you an opportunity to be able to look in each other's eyes without distractions or without other people around. It gives you an opportunity to be able just to relax in the comfort of your own surroundings. It gives you an opportunity to just appreciate one another. I think that's part of the problem lately that has gone away, is that true appreciation of a spouse. And so I just hope and I pray that we all look deep down into our own individual beings and be able to determine what is it that I need to do to make sure I do my part to make my spouse happy. What do I do at this moment to make sure that I'm still in a position where I feel really good about myself, about the situation, about everything that God has in store for us, especially as it relates to your spouse? Because how many of us know that if you don't go on these date nights, if you don't take time to communicate, Satan is so busy. He's going to send someone your way that you're going to make he's going to make it look, seem, and believe that it's the best thing since sliced bread. And how many of you know that the grass is not always greener on the other side? So don't destroy your marriage by lack of communication, by lack of spending time, by lack of just having date nights. Allow yourself an opportunity to enjoy one another and be able to go out and love on one another. And I will say to those of you that when you are married and God has strategically put you together and you are flowing together, that is the best setup that God could ever have. But how many of us know that there's sometimes unequally yoked situations going on? And so you might need at that moment to do some more creative things to bring your spouse full circle back around with you. And so I just hope and pray that whatever it is that you desire for your relationship, that you will work on that, think outside the box, and be creative to make sure that you allow your marriage to continue to flourish.
Well, Tim, I agree with you. And another real, I think, simple thing that I've learned in our relationship over the past years is to practice gratitude. You know, just simply saying thank you or expressing appreciation. Because that's another thing we can get into a habit of, is that we fail to share with each other our appreciation. And I know we're guilty of saying thank you and I appreciate that and please. And you know, because we've been practicing, and because part of what you do, even as a married couple, you have children. And so your children are looking and watching. And one of the things I think we've done a pretty good job in listening and watching our children is listening to them say, not only to us, but to other people, thank you, forgive me, or excuse me, or whatever it may be. So would you agree that we need to practice gratitude and know that it's not, you can't say too often or too many times, I love you, or thank you, or I'm missing you, or whatever it may be, because there's something about the human mind, what God created. There's something about that edification, and that's why Ephesians 4:29 talks about, you know, only allowing words of edification to proceed from your mouth. And so we have to practice it. And sometimes it's difficult, but we have to do the best we can. So when we may have a tense moment or two, that we can remember to practice and not lose our self-control, which we're trying to do and perfect how we walk or flow in the fruit of the Spirit with love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So these, again, are simple things, just practicing gratitude and just saying, I love you, or a simple thank you. How does it feel? I mean, I know I was not the best at it. You taught me, along with really my adopted father, and then you truly reinforced it when I met you. I mean, how does it make you feel? I don't want to put you on the spot. But when I may just simply say to you, I love you, or do something that shows gratitude and not take you for granted.
Well, Jesse, certain things you already know, because actions speak louder than words. It is nice to hear it. We say it enough one to another. We not only say it, we write it down. We make sure the other person knows, even through our actions, of how much we love one another. And it is something that I think it's an ongoing thing that we need to do more often. And the reason why I say that is because so many times when you get out of doing something or saying something that we know is good and that we know is right, sometimes when you stop doing it, you allow the enemy to get in and bring in other things that you might start doing. And one of the things that you might start doing is you might start creating animosity one to another. You may start feeling as though every time you see your spouse, you just get some kind of feeling come on you that you don't even want to be in their presence. The more you say, I love you, the more you want to hold one another, the more you want to love on each other, the more you want to be in that bedroom where it's undefiled, where you can be sexually motivated one to another. Those are the things that we know that God has the ability to allow us to enjoy. And my prayer is that we all take that as an opportunity to be able to respect and love each other as a spouse. And I know that when God gave us our husbands, our spouse as women, that we know God said when a man finds his wife, he finds a good thing. So we already know we're a good gift to the man that God blessed us with to be our husbands. Now, we got to also understand and know that the men have to recognize that even in Proverbs 31:10, where it says, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. And if we're not being treated as precious jewels right now, then I think there's something wrong. And if you're not treating your wife like special jewels, then I think you need to reevaluate how you are dealing with that perfect soulmate that God gifted you with. And do not take for granted the gift that God has given you, because if you don't use it and treat it right, God, as he giveth, he can take it. So I just hope and pray that you do your part to keep your marriages together, to keep the love flowing, and to continue to share one to another how you truly feel, especially when you're leaving of a day or you're coming back of a day, just to say, I love you. How was your day? These are just general things that should happen every day. But I already realize and know that there's so many that you might be challenged with this. And if you are, God said you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens him. So then what you do is you take it up on yourself to say, I can do this, but I have to work on it. Anything worth having is worth working for. So go and do your part to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. Share with your spouse how much you love them daily. Share through a text or an email. I get so many text messages, Jesse, from you that just sends up a prayer, and it just makes my day every time I open up my phone and I see one from you, and how you just speak so highly of me and you edify me, and it does. It makes me feel good. I don't do it as often as you do. I'm running 100 miles an hour out there in the streets and trying to make it happen day in and day out, but I am grateful and I'm appreciative of all that you do to try to make my day much better, and that's what it's all about. What can we do for somebody else to bless them?
Well, I tell you what, you know, out of all the things that's going on, and we were mentioning about, you know, being stressed sometime and frankly, being fatigued, being tired. But one of the things I know in this conversation and edification piece and all of that is that, at least I believe, I think you believe the same way, but you don't need to get into no real heavy-duty conversation before you go to bed. I mean, you could have a lot of things flowing and smooth and the groove is correct and everything's going on. And sleep is very critical and very crucial. And so when you can get into that groove and now you're about to just go to sleep, you don't want to get into no heavy conversation. You don't want to start. At least I believe in this. And I know we very seldom do so. We have over the time being married, but I think we both agree that you don't need to bring on any kind of real heavy duty conversations that require a lot of in-depth thinking, reflection, and all of that before you go to bed. You don't want to get that mind working and revved up, and now you got to decompress and bring it back down. So I think we've done that pretty good. I know sometimes I mess it up. You know, you sometimes, I think I go to sleep easier than you. Don't know why that is, or it's just the way it is. Maybe it's because I'm a couple of months older or something. But at the end of the day, I think we pretty much agree. No heavy conversations before bedtime, because it's going to get the mind revved up. And as you get the mind revved up, it's too difficult to then go into a nice, you know, very restful, peaceful sleep. So we want to encourage communication. But we don't want to encourage having, you know, the best kind of communication, I think, Tammy, is when you're going to bed, is you might be holding each other, caressing each other. You know, maybe you got on some light. I know we like sometimes to have on the real light, you know, soft music, instrumental, that kind of thing. And I may wake up in the middle of the night and turn it off, or you might wake up and ask me to turn it off or whatever. But then we're in that slumber mode anyway, and we can then gradually just go back to sleep. But what else do you think in this area, or let's just talk about it, that we should either increase or decrease? I think you probably agree with on that heavy conversation before bed. How about, you know, being an active listener? I mean, you hear some people say speak less and listen more, and but those are my thoughts. What do you think about situations when we've met with couples, and one of the big issue was simply the nonverbal communications, but the nonverbal communications in their mind were negative forms of nonverbal communications. So how much is that, can that hinder, you think, oneness or marriage when nonverbal communication is not positive?
Well, Jesse, in my opinion, I think that when you're dealing with nonverbal communication, there's something underlining going on. And if there's something underlining going on, then there is evidently some issues with communication. And unfortunately, so many people, they shut down when they're in a conversation and the conversation's not going the way they want it to go. They have a tendency to shut down. And as they shut down, it causes major challenges. And so the only thing that I would really say is that what we need to do is we need to make sure that we're understanding each other's feelings. We're understanding a little bit more about one another. There are things that, you know, sometimes we feel like, okay, I don't even want to discuss that because I don't want to even cause an argument or a disagreement. And sometimes those disagreements are okay, and sometimes they need to happen in order for you to make it to that next level or that next phase or in your relationship of the marriage that God has placed you in. Sometimes we go through challenges in life that makes us stronger, wiser, and better, and it's just setting us up for something greater. So I don't really necessarily think it's a bad thing when there is challenges in the marriage and you need to communicate more, but when you do the nonverbal, I think that's the worst thing you can ever do. Yeah, they're nonverbal in a different way when you're allowing your spouse to speak and you just hopefully hold your peace and allow your spouse to get everything out, and once they complete whatever they're saying. And I would encourage you, when you're sitting down and having a conversation, have you a pen and paper right there with you so that in that journal you can write questions down as your spouse is speaking. Because by the time they finish, sometimes 10, 15 minutes later at times, you might have forgotten some of the questions you want to ask. So do your part to say, okay, I'm investing in this conversation, so I don't want to miss anything. Write down just those few nuggets that you need to go back and ask your spouse, and then just do your part to make sure you don't clam up to the point you don't want to communicate, that nonverbal communication is the worst thing you can ever, ever do. I just hope and pray that we all recognize and understand and know what God wants us to do. He wants us to understand that even in Psalms 85:10, it says steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Yeah, they meet. Righteousness and peace, they kiss each other. So if you have steadfast faith, and if you have faithfulness within your marriage, and those two come together, you got most of the battle done. It's over just about. But then when you add righteousness and peace, there's nothing like it in a marriage. And so I just encourage you, just do your part to have as much peace and be as faithful as you can, and then that love is just going to flow. And don't climb up. Don't clam up. Make sure you communicate, because that's the only way you can resolve anything that might be going on, even if you have to table it for a day or two or a week before you come back to that conversation. But it doesn't mean you don't talk about other things with your spouse.
Tammy, that's another thing you just made me think about. And compromise and negotiation is that it can't always be my way. I understand that. We mentioned this last week, I believe, when we spoke about you learning about golf, myself learning about tennis. And just last night, you had on the women's PGA championship, and you had Wimbledon on with tennis. And, you know, we sitting around, the children sitting around, and everybody speaking the language of those sports, two of those sports that, of course, a lot of us don't play. But now there are some young people in those sports, and perhaps more of us will begin to play. But even something like that, when you're willing to have to create an interest so you can then have a shared goal and create shared interests. I mean, we sometimes don't realize that if we can share a goal and we have a goal together, we can negotiate and compromise on how we're going to get to the goal and what we're going to do and what each person's role will be, and have some kind of way of continuously encouraging each other on how to get it done. Because, see, I still say you are my best critic. I mean, you know me better than anyone else. And so sometimes all of us have to understand when your spouse gives you some constructive input, that's called, you know, some that may look at it as criticism, really it's constructive. Now, we all maybe have to learn how to deliver that input, I would say, effectively, because we could have some input that we want to share with each other, but we may share it in a harsh manner. We may share it in a manner we don't think is harsh, but our partner, our spouse, may feel that it's harsh. And so it's always interesting. And this has got to be the rule of thumb. If the receiver, I think we've come to agree with this, Tammy, if the receiver felt that it was harsh, then the giver need to perhaps look at figuring out how to tone down the delivery, because you can't try to defend your delivery because you don't know how that person is receiving it. You don't know all of the inputs they have had, even though they're your spouse. You may bring up a subject matter, or you may be discussing something where they truly never got delivered from. You know, they never really let it go. And so now you've touched on an area where you may be able to help them get through a situation, but it may take all of the patience you have. Because I know for me, it's not easy, you know, being a spouse. Because I'm a wicked man, and am I, and I'm getting better and gotten better over the course of time. But how do we find or create ways, you know, I think we have, where we respect each other's, you know, personal time or personal space, and we really don't take a whole lot of that because we enjoy each other so much. And I think that's why sometimes family people, you know, they kind of not understand, you know, our situation, because we truly do enjoy each other so much. But if you were going to, you know, just share with anyone about their respecting their spouse's personal space, I mean, what would that be? What would that be like? Were you going to say respect their personal time or their space to make sure you got a balanced relationship?
Well, the first thing, Jesse, you want to make sure you have a balanced relationship when you understand and know that there's certain things that I might want to do, and I'll be like, Jesse, you know, won't you come and do this for me? The only thing you really lately haven't been doing is going to the pool and laying out. But then on the other hand, you ask me to go golf with you and just ride in the cart, and I do it. So I think we got to give a little more give and take versus you just receiving and not giving. And so, but, you know, it really is far greater than that. And I say that jokingly because, you know, I always love laying out with you, but, you know, I traded you in for a period of time for your daughters because I know you don't like being out in the sun, and they both love laying out with me in the sun and just enjoying peace and tranquility, and it's just lovely. And so as much as I would love to have you there, I know that's not your best thing is to lay out and be hot. And I respect that. And so I know you do it when we go on vacation because you don't want me to be by myself. But, you know, I think, you know, it's about give and take on whatever we do. Golf is something that I can live with or live without. Tennis is something that I can live with or live without. But I enjoy doing both of them with you. And there are times I do say, okay, I'm willing to go golf with you. And we haven't played tennis in a while and just haven't had that opportunity. But I do understand and know that if I ever ask, I know you would do it. And that's what it's all about. It's not just about one person. It's about, you know, what are you doing? Are you doing everything in love? That's what it's all about. Because if you're doing it in love, you're willing to bend. You're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to be able to enjoy a lot of the same things that your spouse is doing. And I just truly hope that you are doing that, you know, because above all, what we got to understand that we got to do is we got to keep loving one another earnestly. I mean, that is a must, not an option. We have to do that. And we got to understand that since love covers a multitude of sin, there's no reason we cannot love hard, because we know that we are all sinful creatures, and love will allow that word called forgiveness to come into play. And I hope and I pray that we don't take that word for granted, but we use it more than not when we know that we've brought alt on one of our brothers or sisters, especially your spouse. So let's do our part to not get so caught up that it's all about you, especially us as women, because it's not all about us. We got to spoil our men, our husbands as well. And so it's a little bit of give and take in the activities that we do on a regular basis. And it's okay every now and then just to say, I want you or I need you to be with me, and ask your spouse to go on a date. Ask your spouse to go on an activity. Ask your spouse whatever it is that your heart desires. Sometimes we just don't ask enough and we just take for granted that they don't want to do it. But how about asking and allowing them to make that decision instead of you, even though you know it may be something they don't want to do, but they're willing to compromise. They're willing to say, because of you, baby, I love you, and I'm willing to go and do whatever it is that we may ask of them during any period of time in their lives and in our lives that they're willing to do it. So just be brave about it. Do not operate in fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but just go forward with faith and strong and understand that you got power, love, and a sound mind to operate off of.
Amen. Powerful. And you know, there is a downside. We have to be balanced, you know, before we get off of here. There is a downside to the lack of communication in marriage or the lack of having the ability to just talk about it. You know, a whole lot of things can be then assumed, defaulted to, deducted from. You know, it could lead to all kinds of misunderstanding, resentment, emotional distance, reduced intimacy, stagnation. I mean, a lot of things can happen when you're not speaking to each other, when you're not communicating, not speaking, not sharing. There's no way you're going to have the level of comfort that you would have when you were chatting about things. Matter of fact, you know, as a couple, you will have decreased problem-solving ability, because it's good to have, I think, two inputs. You know, sometimes now your spouse, like in Tammy's case, maybe she may have a greater level of experience on a certain matter. Well, I'm not afraid to let her be the lead on that then. Or it may be something where I have a greater sense of experience from my life chapter of work and book of work. And she, you can lean on me. So at the end of the day, we have to find ways to make communication work for the oneness and for the alignment that we bring together. And so I want to encourage all of you that if you don't communicate, you're going to create a lot of unfulfilled needs. And when you have those unfulfilled needs, your mind, and if you're not feeding your mind the right way, the enemy can, as Tammy indicated, use all kinds of schemes and devices to cause you then to make your spouse be something that they are not. So try to eliminate unfulfilled needs. Try to make sure you are able to ask questions. And again, we all have to learn how to do it in a proper manner, because at the end of the day, we got to keep in mind too, Tammy, our children are watching us. They're seeing how we act and how we deal when we have levels of disagreement, when things are not seeming to be in alignment. They're watching to see, well, how long did it take mama and daddy to come back with that smile or that hug or whatever? We have to be very mindful of the impact that we're having on our children, because I know we've learned that sometimes we are doing everything we feel in our power to bring a very positive image, and sometimes that image can cause us to miss the boat. So there's someone that wants to make a statement or comment. Let me open the mic. 763-6606, your mic is open. 763-6606, your mic is open. All right, they may have made a mistake in hitting that. I'll go ahead and close it up again. And so, Tammy, I'd like to, you know, get your take on something on what we're chatting here about this inability or this loss of shared goals and dreams. I know sometimes there are many things that can impact what we want to do as a couple. And I know you and I, the last 2 years, we've had to be extremely, extremely flexible in some of the things that we wanted to do for a number of reasons. And it's been difficult. I'm not going to lie. And I know you and I have gone through some very, very difficult realities. So what do you think it is that continues to allow us, you know, through thick and thin, through this challenge, that challenge? And I know it's been difficult these last 10 years. It's been difficult. But for whatever reason, God has strengthened us. And after we've had every encounter, I know for me, I developed a new type of love, new perspective of my love for you. Is it perfect how I look at the world or look at anything? No. But I think I've gotten so much better in understanding why we go through certain things. And again, we go through certain challenges, not necessarily for us, but it's for somebody else. And then God wants us to be transparent and be able to share with other people. So what about you? These last few years, I know it's been tough. Been tough on me, you, all of us. But what is it that you think would drive a couple to maintain that focus on attaining what God promised us in Genesis, the process of oneness?
Well, Jesse, you know, putting it in simple terms, I will be honest with you. You know, it's just simple. It's mutual. I mean, I think the love that we have for one another is amazing. I think that we get the ability to, you know, have constructive criticism, and we both have to accept it. I mean, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, and what better person? I tell you all the time, I'd rather you tell me if I look crazy or my hair's out of place or, you know, I got something going on my body that, you know, I don't want somebody else to look at it and make fun of it. I'd rather you say, no, you need to change that, you need to correct that. And I give you credit. You know, one of the things that I have always loved about you, I can put something on, you're like, no, Tammy, that one's not it. Let's try something else. And I admire your opinion, and I usually go in and I change and do whatever I have to do, and you do the same. And I think when we are giving that constructive criticism or when we are encouraging one another, we respect each other's opinion. And I think that's part of it. And we got to learn how to respect one another. If you don't respect each other, then nothing's going to get done. And I just hope and pray that we have the ability to understand what that respect is, and we continue to do it. You know, when I really and truly think about one scripture that so many that have been on here for years, they know it's one of my favorite scriptures. And when I think about you and I, Jesse, and I think about how do we work together and how are we able to be there for one another for so many years with so much love and doing so much together. A lot of people are like, how do y'all work out together? Y'all work together. Y'all did all of these things together, go on vacation together. Well, it's simple. It's because I think we allow each other to be ourselves, our own individual selves, but at the same time, we have the ability to love on each other unconditionally and enjoy each other to the utmost. But my favorite scripture, and it will just ties everything back really to full circle, it's love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. And I will truly say in our relationship, it is not that. It does not insist on its own way. And I know for a fact that that does not happen. We definitely come together and we communicate and we respect each other's opinion. And there may be something that, and we may even go through a little debate. And once we go through that debate, you see my side or I see your side and we give in. And that's what it should be. It shouldn't be, you know, its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Now, there are times, let me not get it twisted. There are times when, just because, again, what you just stated earlier, that we get so tired from busy work that sometimes when we come together that words may be exchanged that are not as genuine and as loving as they should be. But it doesn't take us long at all to come back and say, I'm sorry, baby, you know that wasn't me. I don't know what got in me. If that happens to you, the only thing you really need to do is make sure that you go and you ask for forgiveness. And so everybody knows that scripture is in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. If you can live by that scripture, you can really make a world of a difference in your marriage. But there's just nothing, Jesse, that we don't come together and work together and compromise and be there to love one another and respect each other. And so I'm just grateful and I'm thankful that this evening we just got an opportunity to have just a conversation, hopefully to help others, that these basic conversations sometimes is all you need to allow you the opportunity to be able to have holy matrimony and enjoy the oneness that God created. Father God, thank you once again for these powerful and awesome women of God that and men of God that have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio show tonight. I just ask blessings on top of blessings for them, Lord God, because it's obvious they want to continue to learn and grow how they can better have their relationship to continue to grow as well. And I just want to say thank you once again for this day that you gave us to be able to share with these awesome and powerful, strong men and women. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen to the glory of God.
Agape love.